We are in Sefer Aleshor, Perek Sheni. We have had our first introduction to learning Gemara and all the tools and skills that we initially need in order to be successful in learning Gemara. And now we're going to have a very short introduction to davening. Davening has a lot more to say about it than just this. And the skills and the tools that we need to daven in a way that creates a connection with our Kodesh Baruch Hu is much more broad than this. But this is a brief just touch. That the goal of the Aleshor's first section is just to give you a touch in all of the important areas that you've awakened yourself to grow in those areas. Sometimes, even if you haven't put an effort to work on something, but you've just awakened yourself to a topic, then your antennas are high. You have thought about it. It becomes a topic by you. And then, when you then hear ideas or thoughts which are growth-orientated in that area, you're more open to absorb them. So even though we're not doing a whole thorough workshop on tefillah now, it's the very fact that we open ourselves to the concept of one needs to work on tefillah will give us that open heart that when throughout the year, throughout any times that we hear a point on tefillah, it could give us that connection, that touch. So he starts off by quoting the Gemara, the beginning of Bava Kama, Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Ma Mav'eh, right, one of the four damages that take place is Mav'eh, and it's not clear exactly what Mav'eh is referring to. Rav Amar Ze'adam. The opinion of Rav is that Mav'eh is man. Man is a damager. Dichtiv Amar Shomer Ata Boker V'gam Laila Im Tzivi'un Bi'iyo, which is a quote from Yeshayahu. So what does the word Mav'eh mean in that context? It means Bi'iyo, which means davening. Meaning when Chazal wanted to define what man is, if you want to give the essence of man, there's many different things you could say. He's a thinking being. He's a speaking being. There are many different words you could use to how to define man. But the words that Chazal used, how to define man, is a praying being. That's the definition of what man is. Adam is, in Chazal, translated as Mav'eh Hamit Palel. That's what makes us unique, what makes us special, what makes us who we are, the fact that we pray. The fact that we recognize that we have a connection with Hashem. Animals recognize on an instinctive level that they need food, just like we recognize on an instinctive level we need food. But the concept that you can recognize who created you and form a relationship with that creator, that's uniquely man's. And that's what makes man uniquely special. Mav'eh. Ze hagdarat ha'adam. Shehu mitpalel. So davening isn't just another mitzvah here. Right? You wouldn't define yourself as the lulav shaker. That's what I am. I'm the lulav shaker. Now, you might shake a lulav because it's a mitzvah, but that doesn't define your essence. This is very unique. Even not a learner. That's not what defines us as he who learns. That's not what a man is called. That's not the essence. It's a mitzvah. A very important mitzvah. One of the main pathways of coming close to Hashem is understanding Hashem's way of thinking through learning. But it still doesn't define your essence. Your essence is defined as your prayer. You're calling out to Hashem. That's who you are in your essence. Hamit Palel. Adam, shehu hamit palel, ki ha-tfila hi ha-pu'ula ha-mesamelet et adam ha-yoter mikol pu'ula acheret. There are many actions that a person can do, and many of them could be emulated, copied, modeled by animals or by computers. The one unique one, which is uniquely human, and especially Jewish, but uniquely human, which makes us, it doesn't say Yehudi, it says Adam, so it's universal. Jews take it to another level, but it's universal, is the fact that we pray. Pu'ulot shel milchama, binyan batim, chayim chevratiyim mesudarim, actions such as fighting, wars, building homes, and even having a social life in an orderly manner, all of those we find by animals as well. But the ability for a man to lift himself above the physical, lehitromem el bore, and have a connection with his creator, umahave kol alamot, he that created the whole world, all the worlds, but adaberim opanim opanim, and have a live connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, belashon ata, and speak to him in second language, you, zuhi nachalat adam. That's something unique to man. It's interesting that by a Rebbe, we often speak in third person, but by a father, we say and speak in second person. Would the father like a drink? No one says that, right? Because you have not only kavod, but you have ahava. A deeper level of ahava that you have towards the father that enables you to say ata. Would you like a drink? with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, together with the great kavod that we have a deep, deep recognition of sense of that of love. Because we emanate from Him and we can connect to Him in that deep way. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we do refer to Him in third person as well, in order to not break that line and not forget the kavod. But we also have the love relationship where we're able to speak to Him in second person.
Aren't we supposed to have some sort of love relationship with
the that does develop, but that's not a chiyuv. There is a chiyuv of kavod towards a Rebbe, there's a chiyuv of yir'ah towards a melech, and there's a natural sense of love that does come around to a Rebbe. But with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a more direct sense. Ata. We speak in a direct person. In the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Kaf Zayin, Amud Beis, it says the phrase, Iyun Tfila, looking in depth into davening. And it considers that to be part of Gemilut Chasadim. Iyun Tfila Bichlal Gemilut Chasadim. Which is interesting. What's the connection between the two ideas? It seems so not related. Gemilut Chasadim is where you take food and you put it in bags and you drive over to someone who's not as wealthy as you are, not as privileged as you are, and you drop the bags by their house. That's Gemilut Chasadim. Gemilut Chasadim is where you see a sefer lying around that someone's probably going to be looking for later on and you put it back in its place. Gemilut Chasadim is where you see there's a mess in the Chadar Ochel and you go and you clean it up a little bit. That's Gemilut Chasadim. What's Iyun Tfila, looking into your davening and death, what's that got to do with Gemilut Chasadim? The Gemara continues and explains. Dichtiv, gomel nafsho ish chesed v'nefesh hanu tefila. Dichtiv, gabechana v'eshpochet nafshi lifnei Hashem. That's Rashi's explanation. So, gomel nafsho, when a person's soul grants him, gimilut chasadim, chesed. Your soul does chesed to you. How does your soul do chesed to you? Davar ze yechol kol adam largish ba'atzmo. This is something which every person can feel in an innate way. Rov hitpatchuto shel adam beruchnius kushura betfila. A person is able to develop in his intellect without davening. He could become more intelligent without davening. He's able to develop in his social skills without davening. But the developing in an experience of feeling the closest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu only comes through davening. And just to make this very clear, when you learn Torah, you tune yourself into Hashem's way of thinking. And therefore you have more potential to be close to Hashem. You have much more potential. But only if you then daven, are you using that potential to actually be close to Him. Let me try and give a mashal for it. Let's say you have a grandparent who speaks a different language to you, which often happens. Right? And you don't actually speak the same language. So you want to be close with the grandparent. So you download Duolingo and you make it even without the browser, but there's a special app and you're good. And then you start learning this other language that your grandparent has. And you learn and you learn and you learn and you learn and you've got the language down cold. Hot, whatever. You got it well. Now, are you now close to the grandparent? You're not. Right? Because even though you've got the potential to speak to them, you haven't yet spoken to them. Even though you've tuned into the way to speak to them, but you haven't yet spoken to them. When you learn Torah, you're tuning into the mindset of Hashem. But you haven't yet related that back to Hashem. You haven't connected to Him with the wisdom. So in other words, you've related to the wisdom of Hashem separate from Hashem. So you have more knowledge, which you gained in order to connect to Him. Very good. But now do the next stage and turn back and daven to Hashem. As you learn more and you have an understanding more of Hashem's way in the world, the goal was not just to understand. The goal was to turn that into prayer. Now that you have an understanding of Hashem's way in the world, daven to Him for that way in the world to be expressed and for you to have a role and a part in it. This is especially true when it comes to Rosh Hashanah. The purpose of Rosh Hashanah is recognizing Hashem as the Melech in the world. The purpose of learning Torah is recognizing how Hashem has a hand and a say in everything in the world. Ideally, when Rosh Hashanah would come, the more you've learned Torah, the more you're aware of Hashem's opinion about all different elements and aspects of the world. And when you come to daven that Malchut Hashem should be expressed in the world, if you've learned how Hashem relates to Nezikin through the Sanhedrin, and you've learned how Hashem relates to Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and you've learned how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to marriage through Seder Nashim, And you've learned how HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to Eretz Yisrael through Seder Zeraim. And you have an understanding of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ideal world will be through all the halachos that you've learned. And then you daven for Malchut Hashem in the world, because you know what that is. Because through all your learning of Torah, you have an understanding of what it means for Hashem to be expressed in the world. If you try and daven for Malchut Hashem in the world without having learned what it means, then it's just very fantasy. A big crown. Whoa, a crown. Hashem is the Melech. I don't know what it is exactly. But it's just kind of, it's superficial. It's superficial. Hashem is the Melech. What does that mean? It means He's the King. Good. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Learn Zroim. Learn Nezikin. Learn Nashim. Learn Moed. Learn Taros. Learn Kodshim. Understand how Hashem's world is supposed to be. The more you've learned Torah and you understand what Hashem's world of Hashem being the Melech in the world is expressed through Torah, now you can daven. Now you can have a vision of what Hashem's world is. You can have a vision of what the Sanhedrin will be doing and how they'll be enabling Hashem's law to be running the world. You'll have a vision of what Korbonus is and Mitzvah Torah Ba'aretz are and how Hashem's world is expressed through that. Not through a Devar Torah that was someone said, but through it actually being lived and expressed in the world. Then you can daven for Malchut Hashem. So the ideal is that you learn, which gives you the understanding of Hashem, but then you daven, which is what brings it down. When you express your will for Hashem and all the knowledge that you have of Hashem through the Torah learning to be expressed in the world. The Rosh Hashanah is the day for that. Rosh Hashanah is a day not of learning, but a day of davening. In a sense, you learn the whole year to have an understanding of what Malchut Hashem should be. That's the learning throughout the year. And then on Rosh Hashanah, you daven for that vision of Malchut Hashem to be expressed in the world. And that's where you truly, uniquely express yourself as a Jew, as recognizing Hashem in the world. And that's why, when the Gemara says, Iyun Tfilah is Gemilut Chasadim, because you're doing chesed to yourself through davening by expressing all of that ruchaniyut. Meaning until you daven, then all of the ideas that you have of Hashem in the last chapter of learning remain blocked by you. They're in you, you know them, but just like the mashal of the Duolingo, you have the knowledge of the language, but you haven't yet used it to connect. What davening is doing is it's chesed for your neshama. It's chesed for your spirituality. Because it's taking all the theory of the learning that you have of the Torah and it's enabling it to be expressed in the world by you praying it, by you expressing it. Ideally, and some people do this in the Hasidic world more, when they learn a certain concept, after learning an idea, they say a short yihi ratzon about that idea. No language, can be in any language. But if you've learned a particular idea, if you learned an idea to do with Nezikin, then it would be that Hashem's ruling in the world, Hashem's the Beis Din's concept of the world, will be expressed in the world. If you learn an idea about Bikurim, then there would be a short yihi ratzon that they would say that Bikurim should return and we'll be able to fulfill them again. And if you learn an idea which is even not relevant anymore, like not something which is even practical, but there's a short yihi ratzon that you'll be able to think along the way of Hashem's way of thinking in the world and express Hashem's way of thought in the world. And it's a Hasidic idea which is a very, very beautiful idea. And it's really an expression of this. You gomel ish chesed. You're giving yourself a chesed by bringing all your Torah to spirituality. Anything that you learn, you say a short prayer, your own prayer, which is that idea will be then expressed in the world. Wow. Rov hitpatchuto shel adam beruchniyot kushra betfila. The majority of a person's spiritual development happens through davening. And you would think he would say through learning. But he's not saying the majority of a person's understanding comes through davening. That comes through learning. But the majority of a person's development spiritually, that comes through davening. That's when all that wisdom that you have is expressed. Mi she'eino mitfalel tfilato kachov shigrati, elehu chai betfilato, yimtza ki tfilatav kushurot zo bezo. This is an amazing idea. There's two ways of davening. There's a way of davening which is an obligation, where you feel that there's a mitzvah that you have to do. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to know the reasons behind it. You just have to do it. And you do it. And then each davening stands alone. It's not connected one to the other. I had to daven in the morning. I did it. I finished. Finished. I have to daven in the afternoon. I have to do it. Did it. Finished. Each one stands by itself. There's no thread that connects all the davenings. It's a burden, which as a Jew, you have to pay. You pay it. You pay your taxes. You can go back to doing more fun things after it finished. That's one way of, obviously not a healthy way of viewing it, but in that way, there won't be any connection between your davenings. They'll all be disconnected moments that you disconnected from the world. However, if a person davens where they're high b'tfilta, where they're alive, meaning you're actually thinking about Hashem, they're thinking about, just to give an example, pick any bracha of the Shmona Esrei. So as an example, we can think of Rosh Hashanah, Tekah b'shofar gadol. When you're davening Tekah b'shofar gadol, just think to yourself, where am I in respect to this bracha? Am I looking forward to the Mashiach's arrival? And the great shofar will be blown and Hashem will be revealed in the world? And the Jews will return back from all their lands? Is that something which I believe in an exciting way? Is something I'm longing for? There are people who stand at the airport and see flights of Jews coming home to their land. And their mind isn't recognizing the nevuah that's taking place and being fulfilled. Because they're caught up in which visa and which form and which all technical things they have to take care of. And they miss the moment. They miss the opportunity. So when you're davening, tune in. Are you tuned into what the davening is actually saying? Meaning on a deeper level that you're recognizing that we're davening for a return of Am Yisrael to the land to express Hashem's will in the world. Do you see the vision? Do you see the mission of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the Jewish nation? And where we're up to in that nation? And what my role is in that nation? That's someone who's alive and is davening because he's aware of the concepts behind it. And he's praying for it to continue. There's a mission that's happening. There's a national mission that's taking place and we're part of that mission. And when you pray, it's a longing and a yearning for that mission to take its next step. If you're alive, you sense it. And even if you're not sensitive to it, by davening, you develop a sensitivity to it. Even if you don't really recognize the Geulah is taking place. It's something which you, in theory, you believe in, but you haven't developed. So the davening helps you develop it. It develops within you because you're reiterating and initiating within your thoughts and remembering and seeding a plant of this is something which is really happening. I have to pay attention to it. If you do that, you'll find ki tfirotav kushrot zo bazo. You'll find that your davening is connected to one another. If anyone's read a novel, I don't know if anyone's ever done that, and you have to take a break in the middle, then you almost like you're living in two worlds. You're doing what you need to do in the world, but you're still like, what's going to happen next? Where am I up to in the novel? And when you get to where you are up to in the novel and you carry on reading, you're totally back into where you were. And you carry on as if nothing happened in the middle. A few hours passed where I had to take care of technicalities, but I'm back. Where was I up to? You know exactly where you are. And you continue in the novel where you were up to. That's how davening is for someone who's in the novel. He recognizes there's a mission that's taking place. There's a mission of Geulat Hashem is taking place, the revelation of Hashem in the world. He's aware of the Jewish nation's mission, what he is, what he as an individual Jew, part of the national mission, he's aware of that concept. He's aware of it so acutely that when he davens, he's living it at that moment. And then he takes a break for a little bit where he has to be involved in other things in the world. And then when he comes back to davening, he returns to where he left off in the novel. Where were we up to? Yes, this is what was happening. And then he reconnects to it again. Sometimes some aspect of tefillah will speak to him more because of life events that are taking place. So, for example, if there are big medical issues taking place, and the bracha rafa'inu may be his main one, that's the novel that he's in right now. And then he takes from davening to davening and he's rolling with that one. Sometimes he himself may be into the learning but feeling blocked and he's davening Takadosh Baruch Hu for Chanin Adas. That's the one he's in, and then as he gets to the next Seder, next davening, he's asking Hashem again to help him with the wisdom as he's moving forward. Sometimes he's thinking in a more broad terms, especially around Yom and the Rayim time, when he's thinking of Malchut Hashem, and he's getting more to the second half of Shmona Esrei, of recognizing the Mashiach's arrival and Yerushalayim is being rebuilt, and those ones he's thinking of, and as an imagination, he's thinking of the Beit HaMikdash being built, and every time he gets to Ritzeh again, he takes that imagery to the next step. And he's thinking of the Beit HaMikdash and how it's going to be with the Kohanim and where they're going to be standing and the emotional connection he's going to have and bringing the Korban Chatas and how it's going to redeem him and free him of all that negative feeling that he has for having done something wrong. And he's able to take that next step forward and the vision continues. He has a play, a movie in his mind, a novel that he's acting out, which he has a primary role in, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the director of that play. And each davening is connected to the next one. That's an alive tefillah. It's not a tefillah where you switch off. It's not a tefillah where this word means this. One second, I read two different siddurim. There was the art scroll siddur and there was this Feldheim one that translated it differently. So does it mean praise or does it mean Lord? Okay, it's a machlokes. Praise Lord. Okay, I'll focus on both. Praise Lord. Good. Okay, I daven with kavanah. That's not davening with kavana. That's Morphic Dictionary 101 in the middle of your Shemona Esrei. It's not going to help you. Of course, you have to know what the words mean, otherwise you're not going to get anywhere. But the goal is to have this vision of what you're davening about. It would be better to know what the topic of each bracha in Shemona Esrei is and have that concept in mind than knowing every word and translating every word as you go along. Because then you're part of the mission. You're part of the vision. You recognize what you're doing. Your davenings are connected one to another. The mincha hu matchil b'makom ha'pnimi b'nafsho bo gomar b'shacharit. When you daven mincha, you continue from the inner place where you were when you concluded shacharis. Over mariv hu mamshich b'makom sh'nishar b'mincha. And mariv, you continue where you left off in mincha. That's a way of davening, which is a pnimi way. We're soon going to daven mariv. I know there's a little break, and it's very distracting. You'll notice, by the way, that davening now, Maariv, is a little harder to have kavana than davening Maariv next month. Because next month, after Sukkot, they have Musa Seder and then Maariv. And when you go from Musa Seder to Maariv, you feel a sense of connection to Hashem. After learning Musa Seder, you feel connected to Hashem. And when you go from Musa Seder into davening, it's a natural flow of I'm close to Hashem and now let me talk to Hashem. When you learn Musa and then you eat, it makes a break. It breaks the state. And when you come to davening, it's on a full stomach and you've been schmoozing about other topics with your friends in the meantime and had a little bit of a break. Now davening, it doesn't have that same effect. Notice that difference. And ideally, a person who notices that difference will come to davening 5 minutes early, right? At this time of year, meaning 8:10, or even earlier, but at least 8:10, and he'll learn something of Musa. It could be that you could take out the Alei Shor and review a piece that we just did, or it could be you're learning our own Musa Sefer that you connect to, and you read a piece, and you'll see the difference in your soul of how you come into davening after having learned a piece of Musa, something which inspires you, even if it's a one-line thing or a review of something that you already knew but you feel you connect to, you'll feel the difference of having done that and coming into Shemona Esrei, coming into davening from a place of I'm already connected with Hashem. That was a small example because it's moment to moment. But in a bigger example, think of the idea of the novel, where even if you do have a break in the novel, you have a break, but if you're so in the story, if you're so in the novel, you're enjoying it so much, then even if you have a few hours break and you get involved in lots of other things, but you're living the novel, you're living in the vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu choosing the Jewish nation as His people to express His will in the world. You're living that. And then even if you have a break of a few hours with eating and everything, but then you come to daven the next tefillah, you carry on. You carry on from that next break. Just like if you went from Musud into davening, so you carry on from Shacharis to Mincha, and from Mincha to Maariv. That's an ideal way of davening. We haven't gone into a lot of depth and detail to show all areas of davening, what it means, what the structure of davening is, and all the different stages of davening, and what emotion you should be feeling at each stage of davening to see that whole vision and that whole structure. There's a lot of work still to do. This is just a touch. This is just to awaken a person to the recognition of the ideal of davening, of the vision of what davening is. And with this ideal and with this vision, we can recognize that davening is something we should be working on. It's a shame when a person gets to the end of the year and he feels satisfied because he set goals and targets for himself in learning, and he sees that he moved forward. But when he asks himself, how was my davening this year? He doesn't have any way of measuring that it changed from the beginning of the year. And letzari, I've even heard people who took a step back. That they were so focused on the mission of accomplishing learning, they just put davening totally aside and didn't make that a project they were working on. That's a big shame. Because the goal of yeshiva is to develop a ben Torah in the broadest sense of the word. Not just someone who's more skilled in Gemara learning, but someone who's more skilled in his middos, in his learning, in his connection with other people, and his connection with Hashem, in his tefillah. It should be equally a mission that you have and a goal that you have. As you have a goal and a mission to improve your Gemara skills, both in Bekiyas and in Iyun, should equally be a goal and a mission that you have also to improve davening, and that you've made some form of steps that you wish to take, and progress that you're judging yourself by, and a book that you're reading, or a Rebbe that you're discussing with, or a plan that you have. It will be a big shame if months are going by, and the area of davening is something that you put on hold for now because you're in yeshiva, you don't have time for it. So this introduction here that we've had so far, Be'ez Hashem will carry on next time on Tefillah. It's quite short. It's only one page. But this mission is just to give us that vision that davening is valuable. Davening is, in a sense, even more valuable than the learning. Because it's taking all of that learning and using it as a way of connecting back to Hashem. Shako.
What's that?